Mexico, and they kicked our ass. For unto us a child is born, and for unto us a child is given, and that is good news for all the world, and it's the reason why we're here to worship today, for God so loved us that he gave his only son. So we're glad that you've come to celebrate, to give praise and thanks for all that God has done in our lives, and I trust that you had a very good Thanksgiving. If you fall asleep during the sermon today, you can blame it on the turkey, no problem. You'll have an excuse. I would like you on our prayer list to remember Austin Grimes. He's not in worship today, but he's going to have a couple of surgeries on his ears due to a condition. He'll have to go down to Houston several times. For several procedures, we're going to put him on the prayer list, and I ask that you keep him in your prayers. If we do have any Aggies with us today, we will add you to the prayer list also, because we know you need it. All kidding aside, on Sunday, December 16th, 6 p.m., we're going to have a Christmas party at Jack and Helena Smith's. That's always a really just fun time of fellowship. This is for all of you. If you want to come Sunday night, December 15th, see the flyer that's there in the bulletin that's got their address and everything. And we just have a good Christmas time of fellowship together.
And East Texas Children's Choir is Tuesday night.
And the East Texas Children's Choir is this Tuesday night right here. I don't know if you've ever seen our East Texas Children's Chorus. They're fun, and they're really good. I'd encourage you, if you'd like to have a smile on your face, come hear these kids that Debbie and Paula have been working with each and every week during the fall, and be a great time. Also, prayer breakfast for you men, and we will resume Bible study this week, And next Sunday, we will have Advent for you. So after worship, the young ones can join me in the fellowship hall for lunch and a lesson about Advent. Again, thank you so much for being here. Why don't you turn to one another and welcome each other with the peace of Jesus Christ. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you. Well, you got, I got one on that you texted me. Okay. Peace of Christ. How are you?
Oh, I did that.
Peace of Christ be with you, Jack. How are you? Hey, Mary. Peace of Christ be with you. Did y'all relax? Okay. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I will read from Isaiah 62, verses 6 through 12, where the prophet speaks of how fervently the people will pray to see God's promised salvation. Like guards posted to keep watch on the walls of a city, they will be looking for God to restore the people and redeem the nation. Rather than remain complacent, Isaiah reminds to remain vigilant in our faith for God to bring to fruition all that is promised. Upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have posted sentinels. All day and all night they shall never be silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it renowned throughout the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink the wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it shall drink it in my holy courts. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear it of stones. Lift up an ensign over the peoples. The Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your salvation comes. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Let us pray. God of grace, ever faithful to your promises, The earth rejoices in hope of our Savior's coming and looks forward to with longing to his return at the end of time. For now, let us be a people whose hearts are eager and ready to receive him. May this season be merry because we believe there is nothing you wouldn't do for the benefits of your people. Come to us now in this time of worship so we can be filled with your love and by the presence of your Holy Spirit have our faith renewed. We pray this in the name of Christ, the light of the world, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one God now and forever. Amen. Please join me in our Advent liturgy and the lighting of our hope candle. Our hope is in the Lord,
whose steadfast love endures forever.
Our life is in the Lord.
Whoso loved the world, God sent his only Son.
Our salvation is in the Lord.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you.
We light our candle of hope as a symbol of the prophets who renew our faith with the promise of God's coming and present redemption. May we make ready for Christ's return as we sing with our choir a song of hope to our God.
Now that we've got our voices warmed up, let's sing praise to our Lord. It's hymn number 2. Grab your hymnals. Let's stand and sing, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," hymn number 2.
Let us fall. promises in Psalm 91, those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them with long life. I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. With this in mind, let us turn to God's salvation and confess our sins using the prayer of confession found in your bulletin. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We confess that we have not expected your kingdom, for we live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. You sent your Son, Jesus, the light of the world. We confess that we live as though the light never defeated the darkness. Prepare our hearts and lives for your promised return and illumine the darkest places of our hearts. Come and save us, O Lord, our God. Amen.
There is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Know that, thanks be to him, you are indeed forgiven. And because your sins have been washed away by his sacrificial blood, and because you now have forever access to the loving presence of God our Father, may that not only be news of relief, but may that be a word of joy. One that we celebrate as we stand and sing together the Gloria Patri. Seated. I do hope that this week you were able to take a moment to reflect on all the good in your life and to recognize that that good always comes from God and that you gave him thanks. But may those simple things, even just the bread and the food we eat each and every day on our table, our daily bread, be a reminder that God is good to us always, every day. So may we give back now an offering of thanks and praise to our Lord. Thank you.
pray with me. Dear God, it is with gratitude and thanksgiving we come to you today with our tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you for your love that is so great and so personal and so perfect for each of us. Just as you hold each of us, we will hold you close in our hearts always. Help us to remember your promised return and prepare our lives to receive your many blessings. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated unless you're one of our young people. If you're one of our younger people, I'd love it if you wanted to come up with me this morning. Here we go. I have two symbols that I'm going to show you in just a moment to see if you recognize them. But first, I need to turn to Matthew's gospel, where Jesus was talking to the disciples. And I want you to hear what Jesus said to his disciples. Always be ready. You don't know the day your Lord will come. Always be ready. You don't know the day your Lord will come. It's similar to the scripture that Libby read a minute ago. The people were supposed to be ready because God was going to do something incredible in their midst. Well, I want you to think about being ready. First thing I want to do is show you this symbol. Do either one of you recognize this logo or symbol? Any clue? Okay. Jean does. Do y'all recognize? I don't know if you can see that. Happy does. What is it, Jean? It's the Girl Scouts. It's the Girl Scouts logo. Anybody know what their motto is? Be prepared. Yeah, the Girl Scouts, they do a lot of things, and what they learn is to be prepared. And now what I like about that organization is they learn to be prepared to do good unto others. So Girl Scouts is really a neat thing to do. But if you're a Girl Scout, you got to be prepared. Well, you know what this logo is? It's got an eagle. It looks like a shield with the American flag. Any clue? Have you seen that before? What about y'all? Have y'all seen that before? Okay, all right. Somebody, well, what's this logo? Boy Scouts. Can you guess what their logo, their motto is? Be prepared too. Yeah. I don't know if the girls copied the boys or the boys copied the girls in being prepared. But scouts learn to be prepared. We have a scout troop here at church, and I know one of the things they do is they go camping and they learn what to bring so that they can be prepared to survive out in the wilderness, and they have a fun time with that. Well, let me tell you about being prepared. Jesus came into the world and was born in a manger. We celebrate that at Christmas. A lot of people, though, weren't prepared, and they didn't know God had come. Jesus grew into a man, and he preached, and a lot of people didn't go hear him. You know why? They weren't prepared. They didn't know he'd come. A lot of people could have seen him perform miracles, and they didn't go to check him out because, you know what? They weren't prepared. Jesus is going to come again. He promised. He goes, I came once. I'm going to come again. And I'm going to make everything completely right. And so we should look forward to that. It's going to be a great day. But the way we get prepared, should we make sure his love is in our hearts and that we're sharing that love with others? So I pray that each and every day you'll have a motto of being prepared, because God is going to come and do yet again another wonderful, amazing thing. And we need to make sure we're ready. So let's pray and ask God to make us a prepared people. God, each day that we wake up, help our hearts be prepared to be greeted by your loving presence. And as you go with us throughout the day, may we be prepared and ready to not only share that love you give us, but may we be looking for your return that you have promised. I pray these children would have a ready faith. I pray your churches everywhere would have a prepared faith, looking for the new thing you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming up and let me talk to you about the being prepared like the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. We're going to sing our next hymn. It's hymn 275. So if you'll grab your hymnals, let's stand and let's praise God as we sing our next hymn, which is God of Our Life, hymn 275.
About to read is about being ready, how being ready reminds us that reaching for heaven is not our only goal. We have work to do while we are here. We are to give witness to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior as we love God and neighbor. A good question to ask is this: if Jesus were to return today, would he find you ready? Let us hear Jesus speak of God's promised return and our readiness as I read from Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44, which can be found on page 27 in your pew Bibles in the New Testament. Starting at 36. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of the heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir. I'm going to read from Isaiah 2, the first five verses, if you would like to follow along. I was thinking about how in Ron's Sunday school class this morning, their curriculum talked about how David and the entire nation of Israel would just get together for everyone to worship God. You see, that was an exciting thing for them because not only had God set them free, God declared them to be His people. And they knew that they could worship God, not just anybody, but God. And that's the goal of any religion. It's to bring you into the presence of true deity. And they knew that they could do that. And you see, the temple in the Old Testament is mentioned so often, and it was called the house of God for a reason. It was a reminder, God dwelt. He lived there in His house next to all the other people's houses. They were living with God, and that was such an exciting thing. They couldn't help but get together and worship Him. But over the years, they got a little complacent. They forgot what an honor and a privilege and a joy that was to be able to go before the Lord their God. So Isaiah tries to call them out and remind them. This is what they should be doing. For this is where they have their life. This is where they have their salvation. This is where they find their greatest freedom and their biggest joy. So Isaiah tries to call the people back into the presence of the Lord. Hear the word of God. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways, that we may walk in His paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know about you, I can't even believe it's December already. I mean, it really came fast this year. I found myself this past week stringing up lights around the house because I know how the beauty of these Christmas lights chases the darkness of these winter nights away. We also spent time putting up green garlands around our door, around the fireplace and the mantle. Not only because it's pretty, but it is the symbol of life that continues, of life that lasts even in the midst of cold, gray, dreary days. And it reminds us, the greenery does, that stays green, that growth and life will flourish once again. And we should look forward to that. I do think, even here in the sanctuary, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And that's good because Christmas comes each year to announce to the world there is a hope, not just any hope, but a hope that is real, a hope you can really, truly trust. There is a hope that can carry you through your darkest times, your most chilling moments, and your oldest days. Isaiah 2:2 says, "In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of mountains, and it shall be raised above the hills, and all the nations shall stream to it." I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day. But what I'm going to tell you this morning is really not anything new. More, More, it is an encouragement that you would be among those people streaming to that highest place where we can dwell with the Lord. Like the psalmist who says in Psalm 121, I lift mine eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? My help. I know that my help comes from the Lord. So I hope that we are a people who are daily found to be streaming to that highest place, that we look on high, that like here in Isaiah verse 3, our faith is eager to say to one another, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Because that has become for us our place, not only of greatest retreat and refreshment, but our greatest place of hope. Looking up, going up to the highest place possible, is indeed a reality because Jesus Christ has flung open wide the gates of heaven so that all can enter in. The whole reason Jesus was born was so that we could, as you know, be forgiven. That means nothing can hold us back from entering God's presence, so we can go into God's presence at will. Jesus so greatly desired that we would have this access to heaven. And he so greatly desired for us to have it that he descended from on high to come down here where we were to fight the ultimate battle we could never win on our own. It's a good thing he won. He won that battle. And he has invited us to gather around and celebrate the victory as he takes his place seated next to God our Father, our God on high. If you put out Christmas lights, I do hope, even if you need to pay someone to climb the ladder for you, you put some of them up on high. Get people to look up. Put a star on top of your Christmas tree. Get yourselves and get others looking up to heaven for Christ, who has seen to it that we can ascend from the dark valleys of our living to that high place where faith can really soar its highest. You know, the value of all this is that when we ascend on high or get with God, we get to breathe in that fresh air of heaven rather than the polluted atmosphere of this world. You know, what happens is we get so busy doing things down here and we take in that polluted air of the earth. We look around and we wonder, you know, gosh, why do I feel so tired? How come, even though I put up Christmas lights and I got all my Christmas shopping done and I've been to all these parties, how come I don't feel refreshed? Well, it's because we haven't got that fresh breath of heaven that makes our faith enlivened and joyful. Because we've been in the presence of God. You know, if we're not intentional, very intentional, about going up to the highest mountain, our busy schedules will have us shopping for our gifts, going to all those parties, thinking that we have to get more, thinking that we have to give more, thinking that we have to be more in order to experience what it means to be Mary. But what we find, as I just said, is that's usually what makes us feel so tired. When we do go up the highest mountain and breathe in the atmosphere of grace, our lives will be refreshed by the fact that we're in the kingdom of the one who loves and values us even more than we love and value ourselves. We'll be enlivened by the presence of the one who came down to die as our sacrifice so that we can live. We can breathe in that heavenly air that knows that when it looks like the world has done its best to choke out God, Jesus reminds us and he rises to reveal that there is always a new beginning, even new beginnings that we never thought or imagined were possible. We can't manufacture hope this Christmas season. Sure, we can trim a tree. We can hang some lights. We will go to a few parties and visit relatives. But a hope that truly lasts is not found in what we do. It is discovered in the presence of God, who sits above everything else to show and tell us what he has done. Motivated by everlasting love to save each and every one. I know that our annual cantata will be incredible, thanks to Debbie and the choir. I know that our Christmas Eve candlelight worship will be gorgeous, but we need to be intentional each day to let our faith rise above the dark valleys, up to those high places of faith, up on that mountain of the Lord, so to speak. So that rather than inhale the smoggy air of a broken world, we can fill our lungs with the fresh atmosphere of heaven, which contains the air of love, grace, and unconquerable victory. I know you know this, but plainly put, our hope is in nothing less than Jesus Christ, or Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. You see, in Isaiah's day, the people were busy. They were busy making alliances with other nations, hoping that these alliances would help them defeat their greatest approaching enemy, the Babylonian army. They were busy negotiating treaties. They were signing alliances. They were preparing for battle. Oh, they were busy. They were turning to everyone and everything except to the God who saves. They'd forgotten to look up. To look up to the one who had fought and won all their previous battles and had promised to come and win their biggest battle ever, the war on sin. And so my prayer for all of us is that our aim not be our calendars during this month of December. But let our aim be on higher ground, on streaming up that mountain and breathing in the fresh air of God's love that is always promised to save us people who so very, very often need saving. And you know, when I said, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, we come to the table to remember just that. While Jerusalem was sacrificing all the lambs, Jesus breaks the bread and he pours the cup and he says, "This is my body broken and my blood shed." A very solemn moment. The darkness seemed to be getting darker. But what he was getting ready to do is become our sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb. This saves us all. So actually, that moment, even though the darkness seemed like it was getting darker, the light was beginning to shine if we just look with eyes of faith. And we realize, thanks be to Jesus Christ, there's not anything that can defeat us. The world can do its worst. But we know our Lord will rise to give us God's very best. And so, to rise up is to come here. Jesus, who is lifted high on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins, comes here to lift us into the presence of God. Of our loving God, the Father. So if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you have been baptized in His name, you're welcome to this holy feast. I say it a lot, but it's true. It's not the Presbyterian's table. This is the Lord's table. It's the meal that He's prepared for all who would come in faith. Y'all know the drill, hold the bread until everybody's served. We'll eat it together, showing how we all have a place within the body of Christ. When the cup comes, you can take it as soon as it arrives. But let us prepare ourselves. If you would, grab your bulletins, the elders that are going to help, if you come and take your place here on the pews. Or here at the table with me. If you will, join me in our communion liturgy. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give our thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
And let us pray. God, we thank you that we can come at your invitation. We thank you that you spread a feast before us. We thank you that you serve us out of love. But we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, who is willing to become that sacrifice, who didn't think of himself but was willing to give his life so that we could live with you forever. Thank you that you come in sacrificial love even today. So that having spent time here with you at your table, we can be made fill and we can go forth to live as a sacrificial people. And like Jesus, may we not just focus on ourselves, but may we focus on the wants and the needs and the plight of others. May we not just go forth to give, but like you, may we be known as those who give generously and willingly. Because we know that is what we were made to do. Thank you that in the dark valleys of living, you come to lift us up to that high plane of faith where we can breathe in the fresh air of heaven and continue following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Thank you that He meets us here to offer us still nothing less than Himself. To just go forth and share Him with others. Help your church be your witness in the world today, calling the world to make ready for the new thing you not only will do, but are already doing in our midst. Our prayer this morning, as you take the, the bread that we break and the cup that we bless, and that you would make it be for us Christ's body and Christ's blood. Let it nourish our faith so that our hope is eager to trust you in everything. Receive us and receive those that we mention now in our hearts and in our prayers. And thank you for your welcome as we come praying together, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So we remember the night of the Passover when he took the bread that was there on the table. When he did, he broke it. Or before he broke it, he gave thanks and he blessed it, saying, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat of it. In the same manner, he took the cup that was there. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant, which is sealed in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you eat the bread and you drink the cup, do so remembering me. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and you are welcome to this holy feast. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat. God, just as you came long ago to be a baby born in a manger, thank you that you still come to us, your people, this very day. Let us never take for granted the blessed gift of your Holy Spirit with us always as we forever sing Emmanuel. Amen. We will go out singing. And our closing hymn is there in the bulletin. I don't know if you know it, but Emmanuel means God with us, and we're going to sing that. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. It's the insert in your bulletin. Let's stand and sing that together.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
As you go into your day, may the love of God, the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be in you and with you now and forever. Amen. If anything happens. Oh, you should have.